Welcome back to the game. Tyler Dreiling and Brennan Mintz with you the rest of the way. John Kurtz, Mitch Fortner on their way over to the Manhattan High School Gymnasium for MHS basketball tonight against Topeka High. Coming up in this hour, John's conversation from earlier this afternoon with the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, as K-State is in Allen Fieldhouse tonight for the first edition of the Sunflower Showdown. Coming up later in this hour as well, K-State does receive a little bit of respect in the top 25 polls this week. They also get their first mention with Joe Lenardi's Bracketology. Some Big 12 NFL draft decisions as the Big 12's bowl schedule came to a conclusion last night with Oklahoma's win in the Sugar Bowl. And the one thing that I am most excited for in the year 2017, and I promise you, you have no idea what it is at this point. But we will get into that later in this hour. If you want to give us a call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. We're going to see how close we can get to the top of the hour at 6 o'clock. It'll depend on when we have to get things out to John and Mitch at the MHS Gymnasium. But at least for the next 40 minutes or so, we'll be with you here on News Radio KMAN. For now, we're going to get into John's conversation, as I mentioned, with the voice of the Jayhawks. He's in his first season, Brian Haney, obviously enjoying some good times over there in Lawrence already with the football team, showing a little bit of improvement. He gets to call an overtime victory over Texas in his first season behind the mic in Lawrence. And now, of course, the 12-time defending Big 12 champion Jayhawks on the basketball court. But here is he and John's conversation from earlier this afternoon about tonight's game.
Right now by Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, in his first year taking over for, of course, Bob Davis, who stepped down after last season. And Brian, we've had you on the show a number of times, dating back to your days at KLWN, doing Texas Tech men's basketball over the last couple of years. Appreciate the time, as always. First things first, it's the first time we've had you on since you've become the voice of the Jayhawks. How's year number one been with this dream gig for you?
Well, John, it is a dream gig indeed, and thank you so much for having me on. It's been a blast, you know. Obviously, I didn't win as many football games as we'd hoped in the fall, but saw real progress with that program, and obviously reached the tie water mark and the win over Texas, and then I thought really competed well there in Manhattan. I'm sure many of the K-State listeners to your program, you know, sense that there's definitely some momentum and progress there for David Beatty's program based on what we saw on that regular season finale for KU and the Little Apple. But hoops has been a dream as well. I mean, you look at what Bill Self's team has done right now with 12 straight wins, a number two national ranking, and so it's fun watching the number one freshman of the country, Josh Jackson, do his thing next to what looks like a consensus first-team All-American at the midway point of the season right now in Frank Mason. So it's been a blast, and hopefully those good times will continue as KU continues its quest toward 13 straight Big 12 titles. That's something only John Wooden's 1967 to 1979 UCLA Bruins have done in terms of conference championship dominance. And it's going to be a tough road to go with these Jayhawks in the Big 12 Conference this year, because I don't know where that weak link exists. Maybe it's Oklahoma or Texas, and who would have thought that back in October? But to me, there isn't, you know, a weak link in this 10-team Big 12 Conference. And obviously, the Cats are proof that a lot of folks had this preseason poll way wrong back in October, because there was way too much talent to put this club as low as they were picked in the bottom half.
Voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, with me here ahead of K-State and Kansas coming up tonight. I hope you understand the only reason this question is going to come out the way it does is because of the success that this Kansas program has had under Bill Self. But I guess, should we be surprised that TCU hung with the Jayhawks as much as they did in Fort Worth to open Big 12 play?
I don't think so, because much like K-State, I feel like TCU's a team that was vastly underrated in the preseason. I mean, Jamie Dixon's won four different National Coach of the Year honors from his days at Pitt, and had 11 of 13 teams in the postseason and doing things in the Big East that they'd not seen from a Pittsburgh program. And so I think you put that coach in that $72 million renovated arena in that town in terms of geography and recruiting, and that's going to be a perennial top six in the Big 12 Conference program going forward. And that's saying something, because here's the top six most years in this league, you're going to the dance, and I really feel they can do that. So I wasn't surprised at all that it was a dogfight. You know, we're not supposed to pay attention to what the odds makers say, but that final margin was pretty much online with what many were forecasting. And so I don't think it was a stunner Now, having said that, Bill Self felt like defensively it was the worst they played all year, and he was really upset with how they performed on that end of the floor. But to be able to grind out a win on a night when Josh Jackson, maybe your best all-around player, was mired in foul trouble throughout the game and really a virtual non-factor, to find it coming from other places, like 17 from LeJarro Vick and a career-high 17 rebounds, 15 points out of the Big 12 Player of the Week in Landon Lucas, that to me was great to see, because there's going to be nights when you can't simply rely on Frank or Josh Jackson to get it done, and to sort of see it come from two different contributors that time down in Fort Worth, I thought was impressive. And I think there will be many teams this season, John, that go down there and lose a game on that floor. Good teams picked in the upper half of the league. And so even though it wasn't the 26-point emphatic win that Baylor had at Oklahoma, or even the double-digit win that West Virginia had at Oklahoma State, that's one that you chalk it up to a much-improved team on its home floor. You take your win and you move on down the road and don't worry about style points against a team like that.
Well, with Bill Self being unhappy with the defense, I've seen him say that a few times this year. How much of it is just affected by not having that 7-foot rim protector that's there? I know that is something that Bruce Weber has mentioned that's different about that Kansas team this year, and you know, especially with the Azubuike injury, that has to hurt things.
Yeah, that's an excellent observation. Jeff Withey, Cole Aldrich, these guys aren't walking through that door. You're just not going to have it this year with this team. Landon Lucas, you know, can be a presence for you on the back line, but he's not going to alter shots or block shots like those guys did back in their day. And like Udoka had the potential to turn into with his frame. You know, here's a guy that has a wingspan close to 7'4", and came in at 310 pounds. He actually shed about 43 pounds of weight between summertime and early in the season. But while he wasn't a premier shot blocker in the infancy stages of his career, had he stayed healthy and kept going, he was improving by the week. I mean, when you're only playing organized ball for 3.5 years, your progress is pretty dramatic when you get in a D1, Big 12 caliber program like KU. And we were seeing that out of him, which is why the wrist injury that, had it been a broken wrist, he could have come back by the end of the year, because it was ligament damage. He's done for the rest of the year and not coming back till June. So that was just devastating. But to see Landon Lucas do what he did on the glass in particular down in Fort Worth was huge. And they won't have that rim protector or shot alterer, as you mentioned earlier, at all this season. But they can get better on the back line. And quite frankly, it starts with the guards defending better on the perimeter, not getting beat off the bounce, forcing Landon to slide over and pick up fouls when he's moving off of his man, coming over on the help side defense. That's something that I think really drew the coach's ire from last Friday, and something they hope to improve vastly versus K-State.
Talking with Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, you know, with this backcourt, just seems like there is a total wealth of options there to score, and this team has been really, really good, averaging, you know, upwards of 80 points per game so far this season. If there is a way to try and slow down Frank Mason, Devontae Graham, Josh Jackson and company, how do you try and at least just limit what they can do offensively?
Well, I don't know. That's a great question, and teams have been trying to figure out how to do that all year. I mean, Devontae's not really had the season that many forecast for him. He's in a little bit of a shooting funk right now his last couple of games, and yet he's still averaging almost 13 a game. Frank's looked like an All-American, and you know, backed that up in his first league game with 22 points. He's been averaging 20 a night and has been terrific. I mean, off the bounce, he can get to the cup about as good as any player KU's had since Sherron Collins. He's really good when he gets to the stripe. He was 9 of 10 versus TCU. And I think that's a key for him, is the dribble penetration and drawing contact. Because, hey, that, much like in football when they say when you drop back to pass, three things can happen and two are bad. Well, when Frank is assertive with his aggressiveness off the bounce, I think, you know, three things can happen and all are good. You know, either he can score at the rim, he'll get fouled, or he sets up a teammate with a penetrating pitch, because so slippery off the bounce. And so I think that you know, those two guys as a 1-2 punch in the backcourt are as good as any you'll see. And then Josh Jackson, you know, K-State fans will remember Julian Wright. Imagine a much more skilled in terms of scoring Julian Wright, because Julian was 6'8", 6'9", had eyes in the back of his head, could pass as well as anybody, and yet he filled up the other categories like steals, rebounds, blocks, that kind of thing. That's Josh Jackson, except Josh has a much more complete offensive game. Now, the downtown shooting isn't there yet. He only shoots 27% from beyond the arc. But He's really assertive, and he can posterize you in a New York minute. He's great from 17 feet and in, and you'll be really impressed, I think, with the complete nature of his game. Sounds like I'm avoiding your question here of how do you slow down that backcourt, because I'm not sure there's an easy answer. But I will say this, Kansas at times this season will struggle in the post when Landon's not having the night that he had the other night. And if you can get him into foul trouble and really, force Carlton Bragg to play big minutes and some other guys off the bench like Lightfoot, Dwight Colby, that's where I think the kryptonite will occur. Because clearly, from a guard's perspective, this group of guards is as good as any in America.
Again, talking with Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks. From Bill Self's perspective, what do you think concerns him the most about K-State heading into this game?
Well, I think he's got a ton of respect for this team, and I think we all anticipated the three freshmen from a year ago taking that next step, and clearly they've done that. And Barry Brown, looks much more consistent than what we've seen in recent K-State games a year ago, with 10 double-figure games in his first 13. And obviously Wesley Iwundu, coach, was quick to point him out last night on Hawk Talk. He said, I'm still trying to pronounce his name right, but I've known about his game for a long, long time and respect him a ton. So, Wesley Iwundu, a guy that Coach Self really, is impressed with, his length, his versatility. I mean, he fills up all the categories, like I was talking about with Josh Jackson. Points, rebounds, assists, he can do it all for you. And I think they're impressed with Sneed, the freshman that comes off the bench, I think has drawn the eye of KU's coaches in a favorable way. So across the board, I think when you've got a team like this that has so much young talent, but then you mix in veterans like DJ Johnson and Wesley Iwundu, I think it's clearly a club that can win 9 or 10 games to be an NCAA tournament team. That's the expectation of Bill Self and a lot of coaches in this league, that K-State will back up what they did in non-con play in a really competitive Big 12 race and be right there in NCAA consideration. So I think there's a lot of concerns, to be honest, but probably DJ Johnson and Wesley Iwundu, supplementing those three great sophomores is what has Kansas most concerned.
Well, it should be a good one tonight. Looking forward to it at Allen Fieldhouse. Brian, appreciate you being gracious with your time as always, and hopefully get a chance to talk to you soon.
Always fun talking to you, John. It's great to be back in the Sunflower State with you, one of the most talented young guys in our industry. So enjoy the game tonight, and we'll see you down the road when KU makes the return trip to the Little Apple.
That is John's conversation with the head coach, not the head coach, the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, from earlier this afternoon ahead of the game tonight between K-State and KU. That one tips off at 8 o'clock. We'll have coverage starting at 7 here on News Radio KMAN. Heading to our first break of the second hour, we've got the show with you up until around 6 o'clock. We'll see when we have to send it over to the MHS gym for Manhattan High basketball tonight. Coming up after the break, K-State starting to get a little bit more respect on the national level, including its first appearance or first mention with Joe Lunardi's Bracketology. I'll tell you exactly where K-State stands coming up next on The Game.